This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin on this beautiful Sunday, holiday Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio and Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue. And joining me here in studio is my good friend Bob Sector. Bob's my former Tribune colleague, former cellmate, I guess you might kind of call it.
Yes.
And he's director of investigations for the BGA, the Better Government Association. Thank you for getting up this morning.
Oh, thank you for making it later than usual.
I did that especially for you. I wanted you in because there have been a couple of stories that the BGA has done as we move back and talk about the great Springfield budget impasse. A couple of things. One, I think, was kind of almost a updating of something that we had done earlier. And we talk about the state's huge pension debt, $130 billion in debt. And we have the court rulings that basically say there isn't much we can do. Now, there's a Senate-passed bill that the House may take up that Senate President John Cullerton believes is constitutional. I think there's still a lot of questions because it's based on a footnote in an earlier ruling.
Right.
But nevertheless, there are limits to what can be done because under the state constitution, you can, once a pension is granted basically through work, you can't diminish or impair it.
Correct.
And in the story that came out of the BGA was the fact that are there abuses of the system?
Sure. There are abuses of the system. You know, if I go back, I think it was, and if I'm misquoting him, I apologize, but I think it was Jim Thompson when he was governor who liked to say people talk about waste, fraud, and abuse like it's a line item in the budget you can just cut out. It's difficult to find these abuses, and there's also some very, very large pensions which are legal but irksome to a lot of people. But when you actually look at the totality of the pensions, which is what we did, you find that those really big, supersized pensions don't amount to, or they amount to a fraction of the overall cost. So if you somehow could do something about them, you would solve very little.
And, you know, part of this issue with pensions is really the fact when the legislature decided that there would be that 3% annual cost of living adjustment, which frankly outpaces, you know, as we've seen, inflation or the cost
of
living.
Sure, that was, you know, and that was back in 1990, I think it was. And, you know, you can go back and, you know, hindsight is great. You can't, under the Constitution and under the Supreme Court ruling, you cannot reduce that, even though the legislature tried a few years ago. And that's what produced the Supreme Court ruling to begin with. It said, no, you can't do that. But, you know, again, it's, I don't want to sound flip about it, but it's so what? We know what the costs are. We know what we owe. And it is actually, it's very expensive to fix that, but it's not because of the 3% COLA. It's because the Illinois legislature and governors, in their wisdom, going back prior to World War II, never put much money into the system for the employer share of the benefits. And that mounts up over time. And that's why we have this huge overhang of pension debt.
Sure, because it's the day of reckoning. It's right. The kicking the can down the road, as it were. And it's and frankly, you know, those people who started this on this road, they're not around anymore.
Correct.
And it's
correct.
And they weren't going to be up for election or anything else. And
right.
We had this continued underfunding of the employer share. And so you do have those that are working for government that are retirees. They paid their share.
Correct.
But yet you want to cut.
Yeah. You know, and if you have to go back, just again, harken back to that diminished and impaired clause in the state constitution, that was put in there back at the time, and the chief sponsors of that were all Republicans. And they were worried because they were implementing a new state constitution in 1970, and the existing case law at that time said that pensions were the term they used was gratuity, which meant that the employees could pay their share of the pensions, and if the state or the municipalities or whoever it was that ran the pensions so decided, they could just yank them away. So that was put in there to protect that.
Well, and so you have various groups espouse, well, let's just have everybody go into a 401k plan. And that isn't how the system works, because those contributions wouldn't then go into the pensions.
Well, I mean, there's a few things about that. You know, if you could go back in time and redo it, it might make sense to do that. But remember, in 1970, when the state constitution was written, 401ks didn't exist. It was either Social Security or a pension, and the state, long before that, by and large, not totally, but by and large, decided that they were better off keeping people in pensions. And one reason for that, I mean, ironically, is that if you go in the Social Security system, it's a hard cost. Right now, it's 6.25% of a paycheck is the employee share, and the employer share is similar. It was less back in 1970. But you can't skip out on that like the state did on the pensions. So, you know, we would have over time had to pay a lot into the Social Security system, and there was no getting around it.
And right now, there is no Social Security.
Yes.
And that's for the public employees, the teachers,
right.
Most notably, that there is no Social Security benefit attached to that. So the state does not have to make that hard cost.
Yes. Yeah.
But now we have created this other tier two system for new employees in 2011, which finds itself at risk because the benefits it may pay out may not meet the test that you can skip.
Yes,
Social Security
going down. It'll take many, many years for that to trigger in, but that is a possibility. And the other thing about Tier 2 is it's disadvantageous to the employees. I mean, the reality is that if you're an employee, it's a kind of a bad deal. You have to pay as much as the older employees, the Tier 1 employees,
but get less in return.
And you probably would be better off if you just took your money and, you know, stuck it under a mattress or something. But that's
really
that's an exaggeration. But we're stuck with that system. And the other thing that's so weird about this push for more 401ks is that if you start moving people out of the pension system, if you could. You start moving them out of the pension system, put them in a 401k, then you've got both the employee and the employer not paying into the pension system, yet you have this huge overhang of debt, so the original pension system gets worse, not better.
And, I mean, and truly, the pension costs, when you're looking at state government and its ability to have flexibility in spending, when you look at a quarter of the revenue that the general fund revenue is just going to pay the pension debt.
Absolutely. And the, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame. There's no cheap way to get around this. And that's kind of the problem with all the solutions right now, is we are still trying to figure out how to cheap it out. And we can't. You know, the Supreme Court says you can't. And rather than deal with the problem head on, we're trying to find all sorts of ways to avoid dealing with the problem that the legislature and past governors created in the first place.
And, yeah, there is no easy way out. Mm-hmm. And we're going to follow up on that.
Sure.
But, well, and quite frankly, you know, the BGA also did a story about the issue of, you know, it's easy to say cut, but it's actually very difficult.
Yeah, and one of the reason is because the big areas you can cut, you know, you can't cut the pensions, and that's a big chunk of money. You don't want to cut schools, and even though you kind of de facto are, because the bills are just not, or the school districts are just kind of losing, and now
they're being owed $1 billion.
Yeah, and now the governor wants to freeze property taxes, which is the main engine for school revenue. But you've got a state workforce that is significantly shrunken from what it was 15 years ago. You know, we're down about 20,000 or so.
Well, I believe we rank as among the, states with the lowest per capita.
We are the lowest. And then the other thing is, you know, Medicaid, which is a big cost, but we pay far less than the national norm per recipient. We still we have a lot of recipients, so the overall cost is high, but a lot of that is also paid for by the federal government. So you know, I know there's one group closely aligned with the governor that says we should just we can save money by just eliminating the Obamacare Medicaid expansion, and that might be done for us by people in Washington, but you know, there's a cost to that. You know, the government right now, the federal government pays 90, it was 100, I think it's 95 now. But, you know, if you have people start flooding emergency rooms or just getting really sick until they're, you know, until they really need very expensive emergency care, you undermine yourself. And so you gotta think these things through before you just, you know, hit some ideological buzzword button and go
well,
ahead.
And as you know, we all know preventative cost is less expensive than after the fact cost.
You know, go back to the pension problem. You know, we if we had been preventative in the first place, we wouldn't have this problem.
That's Bob Sector, Director of Investigations for the Better Government Association. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, joined by Bob Sector, Director of Investigations for the Better Government Association. We're kind of talking about some of the, basically we created the setup for, here we go into the final scheduled days of the Illinois legislature for spring. And as I spoke with my colleague Monique Garcia earlier, it's Groundhog Day all over again. Not really that much closer to ending this 22-month, I believe, now. I've lost track of the numbers of
coming
months.
Coming on 23, yeah.
Of that the state of Illinois has not had an operating budget. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we're spending overspending the, to the tune of $11 million a day. We're the bill backlog, I believe State Comptroller Susana Mendoza says, which is over $14 billion right now, just the normal backlog of bills, probably closer will be $16 billion when we get to the end of the state's budget year at the end of June. You know, we've seen the posturing going on. We've got the full campaign mode going on for 2018 already. And I think that just has, you know, that has just thrown in the towel on anything.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm bad at predicting things, but I would be willing to bet that come Wednesday, which is the last day of the regular session, there won't be any budget for the fiscal year coming up. That doesn't mean they can't reach one before the fiscal year begins, but it's not looking good.
No, because I think, in my view, politics has overtaken things. You have the governor who has been spent the last few days pushing this idea of a property tax freeze. And
yeah, and let me just say something about that because it's really interesting. I mean, this is property taxes. Everybody hates their property tax bill. They are, in most places, enormously high, and you could see why that would be a very, you know, a very good political message. The problem is what he's proposing is horrific public policy, and it's the kind of public policy that got us into the soup with pensions. There's a picture on the Tribune website of the governor in Orland Park with some woman holding up her very high property tax bill. And I went and looked. I didn't know exactly what address she had in Orland Park, but in Orland Park, either, depending on where she lives, either 60% of her property tax bills is schools. Or 69%, again, depending where you live. So if you want to freeze taxes, you are freezing school spending because the state isn't coming up with much more. And that is, you know, to solve the property tax problem, you have to solve the school funding problem. And that, unfortunately, is going to take a lot more state taxes. The reason our property taxes are high, it's by design. The Illinois legislature, in its wisdom, has long decided that rather than do what most other states do and pick up 40%, 50%, 60% of local school cost, we've knocked it down to 26% or 25%. And so that's why your property tax bill is high. So, you know, if you want
to... Well, in fact, her bill would be kind of almost on average with what the state average is that 67% of school funding is done through property taxes, 25% through state funding.
Right.
And so, and you're right, and there's the issue of the double whammy for these schools because, okay, if you're going to constrain and constrict their property tax revenue... Now, the governor's plan says, well, if voters want to vote to increase or decrease, they could do it through an easy referendum.
Well, referendums aren't easy, and you can't do them every time, you know, every next week. There's only, you know, like essentially once a year or once every 2 years you can do it. So that's kind of a false premise.
But if you think the property tax increase that the Senate Democrats passed to go to 4.95% is onerous, to truly change things around to provide that majority share of school funding from the state would require a vast, vast increase.
Well, you know, the irony here is that the last time we revisited this issue in Illinois was in 1997. And then Governor Jim Edgar, Republican Governor Jim Edgar, wanted to do what was called a tax swap. He wanted to raise the state income tax, use some of that for school funding, and most of it for property tax relief. The plan was blocked by his own Republican colleagues in the state Senate, and because they didn't want to raise the state income tax. And ironically, what the increase he was proposing was to take it to 3.75%, which is exactly where we stand today.
Well, and no, I mean, there's a great history of that concept of the tax swap. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, I'm curious to see if that isn't something that comes out of some of the Democratic candidates for governor when they talk about the onerous property tax system. Mm-hmm. But for the Republican governor, just by using property taxes, as I have in the Sunday paper, it's also a launch pad because this way he can – that takes in the conversation of House Speaker Michael Madigan, his chief nemesis, who also is a property tax assessment attorney.
Yes.
He takes in Joe Berrios, who's the Cook County Democratic assessor, as Cook County assessor, as well as Cook County Democratic chairman. And then it also, you can toss in the controversy over J.B. Pritzker's assessment reduction as well. So it's a multiple bird-killing stone for...
Just remember, this is a guy who ran for governor in 2014 complaining that both Democrats and Republicans in Springfield spent all their time worrying about the next election. And what they needed to do is go in and make the hard choices to govern. In his first year as governor, the Supreme Court cut the legs out from under him and said, no, you can't cut state pensions. And ever since, he's essentially been campaigning for reelection.
Well, and we see the ads. And we see the ads on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And it's from an offshoot of the National Republican Governors Association. It's frankly a tax-exempt group that's running them, so we don't know who's even funding the ads, although the governor's campaign people say that they are not.
Well, this is kind of the genesis of the whole two-year-long standoff. You saw when finally the Senate the other day passed its version of a grand bargain without any Republican votes, within hours the ads were up, you know, complaining about the tax increase. And this is the whole thing is gone. The Democrats didn't really want to do that because they wanted Republican votes on his cover, and the Republicans didn't want to do it because they want to be able to attack the Democrats for being high taxers. And that's why we're here.
And thus shall ever be.
Yes.
Bob Sector, Director of Investigations for the Better Government Association, thank you so much for getting up and taking the late shift on the Sunday Spin.
Yeah, I'm doing Dean's show next week.
Very good. We'll be back with more right after this.